Welcome to IntelliCast, powered by Skip.
What was your mandate when you came in? Did you have this massive CI team where it was, you know, kind of coordination and leadership, or was it more building something from the ground up?
It was very much building it from the ground up. So anyone that's in the generic world when it comes to pharma, well, it's probably not just generics. I might be biased, but we have a tendency not to have a lot of resources, right? Because generics, it's small margins. It's more about volume and not so much about big brands, not your blockbusters. So I was a team of one supporting probably about over 170 products. It's still kind of about the same. We became a team of two. So at some point I became two people, which was nice. But there was a lot. There was a lot to do for two people. So it was a lot about being as efficient as we could, which goes into how I built my network, right? Because you need to, in order to be efficient, and you're a team of one, but it's when it comes to CI, it's never just one person's job to pay attention to the competitors. So it's all about leveraging your internal network to become a team of one plus however many additional people you can add to the network. And it's, you end up becoming that person that connects all those people within internally within wherever you're at. So it was very much building from the ground up, a lot of really grassroots, which I'm bet people would be surprised to hear at a place like Pfizer, but the way Pfizer was structured, at least for our generic side of the house, it was very much as streamlined as possible. If you looked at the other side of the house, there was definitely more resources and more what you would expect from a place like Pfizer. But on the generic side that I was on, it's very, very lean.
Yeah, that's one of the strange things about like a huge company like that is you assume that, you know, the vaccine, for example, right, is the big thing. But yeah, I mean, Pfizer is a huge business with, you know, diverse holdings. So, you know, just given that, I mean, that's a really big, diverse, complicated business just to kind of wrap your heads around, period, let alone from a competitive intelligence perspective. And you mentioned 150 products. So, you know, what were some of the steps that you took as, you know, a new leader to start to not just understand the business, but, you know, build out the CI program and then the intelligence network?
Yeah. So, you know, when I joined, I really wasn't as strategic as I wish, you know, now in retrospect, right? When you look back at things, you're like, hey, I could have been a lot more structured and a lot more strategic in the way I planned things. But because I came in and we were looking to reimagine what the CI function would look like for this division, because we're combining two companies, I got lucky. I had the opportunity to meet with a lot of stakeholders. Some I already knew, right, from the business I was coming from, but a lot were new. And that gave me the opportunity to not only meet, I mean, I mostly was trying to meet with the decision makers and who my key stakeholders were, but sprinkled among those were people that were more outward looking, looking at competitors, either because they had to, right? They're in sales and inevitably they interact with the competitor on a daily basis, or they're just those type of people that like to, you know, look outside and they're not just sort of focused on inside only. And so I was able to quickly start identifying those people, but honestly, I really just got lucky about it because we were going through this process of revamping things. If I'd done it differently, I would have been a lot more strategic about it and not only focused on our decision makers and making sure I knew who they were and developing those relationships, but I would also leverage maybe my manager and the team that I was on to identify who else is out there that I need to make sure I'm developing a relationship with that can help me develop that network, that internal network. And when I'm talking about internal network, I'm talking about other folks who would know things about the competitors, right? Because we oftentimes, especially at a place like Pfizer, it's so big. There's so many people that know things about the competitors. It's just hard to bring all that into one spot and then disseminate it out and make sure everyone's aware of it. So it was, if I had been a little more strategic about it, I would have identified those people maybe a little earlier on versus over the course of 5 years, I've slowly gotten to know who those people are. And it's taken me a little longer. It was very much sort of just, I got lucky and met a lot of people early on that maybe I didn't know I needed to meet until later on after I've already met them. And I'm like, oh yeah, this was really important. I met this person early.
Nothing wrong with serendipity, right?
Yeah. Well, what do they say? It's better to be lucky than good sometimes.
Yeah,
so
that definitely was
my case.
Yeah. Now it's exciting. So you're coming in, you know, there's been a merger. So, you know, a lot of change going on. And one of your jobs, as you've shared, Maureen, is to really, you know, revamp or rebuild the CI function. And so, you know, I would just be curious, any inside baseball. So when you work with those, you know, especially the managerial, you know, C-suite, you know, whatever, the, you know, the functional leaders, were there any, you know, challenging issues there around just seeing the business value of CI? Because, you know, as we all know that sometimes in our own, you know, professional lives that not everyone is a, you know, card carrying member of the CI fan club. So any, did you encounter any barriers there, or was the, you know, leadership generally receptive?
Leadership was definitely receptive. So I got, once again, lucky that I didn't have to necessarily change their mindset in showing the value. I had to continue to show the value. So it was to maintain that buy-in, and leadership changes, right? So since I've been at Pfizer, the leaders have changed significantly. And so continue to make sure that you have that story and the value. I'm also fortunate because I work in the generics business. A lot of the CI we provide has it's more tactical in nature, to be honest. There's some strategic, of course, but there's a lot of tactical type CI, which is usually more translatable to some sort of metric, right? A value. And so I'm able to, on an annual basis, to be able to say CI has informed this amount of value for the business. And so that makes it a little more an easier pill to swallow in terms of a budget and all of that. Versus if you're more strategic, or informing more strategic type things, or maybe you're preparing for a launch that's 3 years from now, it's sometimes hard to continue to show that value. So I've been very fortunate that the leaders on our side of the house have always been very CI, see the value in CI. Now that could change in the future, so you always have to be prepared for that and make sure you have your metrics and you're measuring, continue to measure and have that story so that if it does change, you can communicate that and hopefully continue to have that buy-in.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's the, you know, there's never a one size fits all metric, like you're saying, but you know, the reality is you have to have a dialogue around, you know, each metric and the purpose of it. Cause you know, it seems like when you don't have that dialogue with leadership and you get out of alignment, that's when the trouble starts. So,
yeah. So I have to say that when I first started, it took me a while to get to the point where I was like, okay, I can have a dollar metric associated with CI. Cause I didn't like saying that, that I have some influence on a dollar. But at the end of the day, that's what leadership wants to hear. So sometimes you just need to bite the bullet and say, okay, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter if I'm against sort of in a psychological or philosophical way, I'm against that kind of metric. Sometimes you just have to do it. So it took me a little bit to get there, but I've gotten there and now it seems to work well.
So it's good you have, you know, a really receptive management even as it's changed. Now, just given though that I mean, it is a big business and you got a ton of products, you probably can't, you know, walk the halls or the virtual halls every day. And so what have been some lessons learned about, you know, once you get the network off the ground, how do you actually cultivate it and get insights and little tidbits back in a structured, hopefully technologically convenient way?
It's hard. I'm not going to pretend that there's a simple solution and I do these three things and now I'm golden or anything like that, or, you know, I got it all figured out. I definitely don't. And Pfizer, even before COVID, we were pretty virtual. And I also happen to I don't sit in headquarters. I sit in one of our secondary sites. So it's always been a little bit of a challenge anyhow, to just You know, when you walk the halls, right? You have a tendency to bump into people and you can hear things. Because I'm not necessarily a headquarters, I walk the halls for a certain part of our business, but not the whole thing. So I've had to create a method from the beginning. And like I said, there's really no one size fits all. There's not a couple of things that you do and that's it. So what I've had to do is figure out what fits for the business, right? So there's certain parts of our business where we have a CRM platform, right, for our sales. And they're in there every day. And so we've created an extra function of that to that they can input any competitor related information, right? Something that they observe when they're out in the field. And that works really well for that business. And I know that I've heard of other companies doing similar kind of thing, right? So the idea is not to create extra work for anybody, right? So that works really well for them. And then there's other parts of the business that I support. They don't have something like that, or it's not set up that you could, you know, easily sort of dovetail some CI in that. So instead, I join a bunch of their team meetings. It's a lot on me, but at the end of the day, if that's what works, that's what works. So I join their team meetings, and then they have CI as a standing item on those meetings. Generally, I'm multitasking through all the other stuff that's not important to me, and then we get to CI. Either I share some CI, I might have some information to share. That's the best, because then you can create a dialogue. Or they have things that they need to share. And then the other method I use is continually reaching out, right? So I have my network of CI folks I know that are gonna be up on the speed of the competitors. And I reach out to them on a regular basis. Maybe I'm sharing something, and then, like I said, that's nice because it creates dialogue. Or maybe I'm just asking, right? Have they heard anything on certain things? And of course, I did say I have a portfolio of a lot of products, but you really only focus on the big ones, regardless of what kind of company you sit at. Unless you only have like a small portfolio of products, usually you just focus on the big ones anyhow. The small ones get a little less play, and that's just kind of normal. So I have a tendency to focus on the big ones. I wish if someone else has a magic solution, I would love to hear it. I'd love to apply it, because it ends up being a lot of work on me to sort of be that connector of bringing all this information into one place, like I said before, and then disseminate it out. And it ends up being a lot of extra time on my side, but it seems to be the only solution that I could sort of wrap my head around and manage. The other thing I've heard other people have, they might have like a super slick tech that they use, some sort of platform that they use, similar to, you know, I talked about the CRM that we use for some parts of our business. And I've had a really hard time getting a budget for something like that, especially across my business unit, because my business unit just happens to be very diverse. And I haven't gotten the buy-in for any sort of budget for something like that. And then also to get folks to use it probably is the bigger hurdle. And so I haven't really gone down that path for something like that across the business. But I know that others have been able to implement things like that, and that has worked for them. And I'm a little bit envious of that.
Well, no, it's the, like, you know, there's no one size fits all metric. I mean, I think what you're saying, Maureen's really smart. It's that, you know, you oversee a bunch of different businesses and products, and that as much as, you know, man, one, a perfect platform would be great. It sounds like you use a little bit of a combination of just the, yeah, you know, the spade work of face-to-face or, you know, screen-to-screen, but also using a CRM. Now, in terms of some of the outputs that you help support, do you do things like competitor profiles and battle cards to support sales so they can kind of see, okay, yeah, this is what Maureen does?
Yeah, I mean, all of that and, you know, all of the above sort of thing, right? So a lot of, I think one of the things I didn't mention, but that helps to continue to build this network is the, as we all hate them, but I feel like they're sort of just required newsletter type things or profiles, right? I have different things that are accessible by all that are important for our particular business unit around competitor information that's put in a form and fashion that is easily digestible. It's information that anyone could get anywhere, but you put it in a more useful platform. So I definitely have all those types of things as well. And I think that helps to create that dialogue. And also, I think you're continually trying to encourage a competitor mindset, right? The CI mindset, even though for some folks, it's not a main focus of their job, but it's important to always keep the competitors and kind of, if nothing else, in the back of your mind. And that's part of the job as well.
Yeah, no, that really resonates, because it's salespeople, I say this as a reformed salesperson. I mean, they are fantastic in that they can be single-minded. And so I love what you're talking about, kind of, you know, basically helping them be successful. And so with sales folks inputting data in the CRM system, so, you know, you've shared, Maureen, you don't have kind of a full soup to nuts enterprise CI system. You know, once it's in the CRM, you know, how do you just, you know, practically speaking, you know, look at it, review it, couple that with the conversations, you know, and this doesn't have to be a fancy process, but.
It can be, you know, there can be a lot of noise, right? CI, everyone in CI deals with noise. And so there can be a lot of just extra information. I work a lot with our commercial team. And as that information comes in, work a lot with our commercial teams to understand, to work with them and understand, like, what's the true value of this information. Everything comes out of that system in an email format for us. And actually we use Tableau and all sorts of, so it makes it much easier to digest and go through and it's organized in a way that's all related to particular products. And so it's easy to kind of filter through it, and that helps. But at the end of the day, it's when I see that, it's like a signal. And that means that I need to go and talk with our commercial folks and see, right, do we need to know more? Do we need to triangulate this information? How do we get it back out to the field on what this means, if we can? And so it's all partnering with different parts of the business, which leads to having a good network. I never, one of the things I find is kind of ironic for myself is when I started in CI, I did not think that networking was such a big part of the job. And I wouldn't have probably, if it was written somewhere in a job description, I probably wouldn't have applied because I didn't think I was a good networker, but it is like, it's key to being successful in CI is being able to network and build that network with people.
So it's not a job if you're like a total introvert, then, is what you're saying.
Well, if you are, you got to figure out a way to get out of that box. And that's
okay.
What I had
to. That's good. So, you know, just as you mentioned a moment ago that, you know, the management churns, and so salespeople churn as well. And so, how do you then kind of build that, you know, relationship, those points of contact with new people? And also, you know, as you know, sometimes new employees from competitors can be great sources of information, providing, you know, you follow some certain ethical guidelines, of course.
Yeah, I haven't cracked that nut yet. I mean, I've heard what other people do is CI is kind of part of the onboarding, right? At least kind of a sort of mention. We haven't gotten there yet, but that is something that's sort of in the works and in the plan that, it should be, if nothing else, it should be something mentioned as an aside of, you know, introducing myself and having an opportunity to at least meet anyone new that joins the organization. Now that I'm only supporting one business unit, it should be a little bit easier to do that. And so that's kind of in the plan. But yeah, we haven't gotten there yet. So new people that join, try to grab them when I can, when I hear that they've joined. And so it's a lot of a very piecemeal-y kind of way to get people on board with CI.
Excellent. So we have folks are pinging questions to me. So I will, I've addressed a couple of those, Maureen. We got a neat one here. So, you know, thinking about intelligence requirements, how do you start to, you know, structure and organize those so that they can actually, you know, feed into decision-making, so that, you know, the information you're collecting is actually getting to the right person at the right time. Of course, that's, you know, the holy grail.
Right. That's a big one.
It is a big really one, no, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Right? I feel like I'm going to repeat myself, but there's really, like, it's hard. That's one of the biggest challenges of our job, right? Is that none of us want to be just information seekers and information providers. And that information is just sort of like, oh, that's nice to know. Okay, great. We all want to be informing decisions. I think for me individually, and like I said before, a lot of the insights I provide are more tactical in nature. So the folks that I'm providing the information to act on it right away, right? It's a brand manager or it's a portfolio manager, and they're acting on that information right away. Maybe the insights tell us, hey, we could make more of this particular product. And so then they go and work with our supply folks and do a plan for making more of that product, right? So I think the key is trying to provide that information to the folks that are the decision makers, right? The folks that can use that information and influence the decision. Not an easy thing to do, right? It's much, much easier said than done, but that's the key in our jobs, is try to figure out who that decision maker is and make sure they get the intel. And then you have that discussion with them, right? So it's not easy.
No, I love that. Now, one thing that we didn't touch on was, silos, politics, and obviously not asking for anything sensitive here, but have you encountered any resistance or just places where you're not getting what you need and had any successes in overcoming that?
I don't think I've had really any challenges, but I have, but not in a resistance, not in a way that people don't want to share information. Mm-hmm. Pfizer, folks want to share. Like at Pfizer, we are all like very collaborative. It's a great place. I mean, I don't want to be an advertisement for Pfizer, but it's a great place to work. But there are silos, right? And it's more about the challenges is trying to find the people that you need to interact with, or knowing who those people are. So we have just the typical silos where, this group might know information that would be helpful to another group, but we don't even know who those groups are or who has that type of information. So that's part of my job as well, is to try to identify those different groups and different teams and share the information back and forth. Once you identify those teams, I haven't ever experienced a resistance to share. It's more about identifying different people within Pfizer. And we do have, I talked about how I support one business unit and I'm a team of one. We do have a fully dedicated CI team that has a lot more people on it that supports other parts of the business. I just happen to be a team of one separated from that larger team. So there's a lot more CI people at Pfizer. I don't want to make the impression that Maureen is the only CI person at Pfizer. Actually, we have a lot. Yep. I hope I didn't make that impression.
No,
I just happen to be separate from that other team, and I have a tendency to operate as a team of one.
Yeah. No, and I like that. And then, I think you touched on a great point about the enthusiasm for sharing. And so apologies to John and Maria. I'm going to combine your two questions and hopefully do it in an artful way. So sometimes, your network, you can't find the information that you think you need. And so Maria asked about crowdsourcing, and then John went another direction of, working with an agency or a third party to try to get intel. Do you have you had to resort to those, going beyond the internal intelligence network at Pfizer to get what you need?
Yeah. I think sometimes we have a tendency to go use an external, like consulting firm first, and we might have information internally, but we don't know. We don't know we have it, right? Like it might be among a group that we don't know. We often use third-party consulting firms to gather primary CI for us. That's pretty common. Crowdsourcing, I haven't done that really, but definitely using third-party consulting firms.
Okay.
And internal crowdsourcing, we haven't done internal crowdsourcing. That's really smart. I'm going to make a note of that and put that in my plan, because I hadn't thought about that before.
That's a cool idea. Maria, I'd love to hear more about that, because I think that is pretty exciting. Maybe Maureen, time for one last question here. Apologize for the folks I won't pick, but in terms of pruning a network, just because, as you say, you do spend a lot of time with the kind of person to person, which can be really valuable. is pruning your network ever an issue where you maybe spend a little less time with that department because the need isn't there, or even with that person? Has that come up yet?
Yeah, I mean, right. I have a big business that I support, and a big, and inevitably, you support certain parts of the business more than others. I wouldn't necessarily say pruning happens, but there is sort of like, at some point that, you try to step back a little bit. You never want to say no to anybody or completely cut them off. It never works well. I'm a yes person, so maybe I just struggle with that. So it's probably a struggle that I need to try to address a little bit more. But there are certain parts of the business that I might step back and not maybe support as often, or maybe not reach out to as often. But to be honest, it's never really been an issue. Usually if you don't reach out so often, they'll reach out to you if they need something. So I never worry too much about that. I have a tendency, just because of the size of the business I support, I have a tendency to be a little more reactive, which isn't good, but a little more reactive than proactive. I know that's not ideal, but that's just kind of how it works out.
And to your point though, it's some businesses need something more, I'll say agile instead of reactive, that always work.
Okay,
yeah. Agile. Everyone likes agile. So we're at time. And so maybe if I could just impose on you for 15 or so more seconds, what I really love what you shared, Maureen, was, being transparent and mindful that you came in and you didn't have millions of resources at your disposal. You were really, building up a function and building relationships. And as you said, you got lucky along the way, which is, is wonderful. What would be, one lesson learned that you might want to kind of share? This could be something you already said, but, like one takeaway, something that, this is meaningful. This might not take a ton of time. It's not a silver bullet, but something that's a meaningful, practice or thing to do that you'd recommend folks use.
Yeah. My biggest one is for myself, and maybe it resonates with others as well. I wish that we have a tendency, all of us, right? It's a little bit of like put out fires every day, right? Because we're just so overloaded. We just focus on getting whatever needs to get done because of deadlines or whatever, whatever needs to get done, get it done that day. And we don't have a lot of time to just sit and think and be, or we don't allow, not that we don't have the time, we don't allow ourselves to have time to sit and be maybe a little more thoughtful and strategic. Yeah. So I wish if I had gone back, I wish that I had been a little, just given myself, honestly, 10 minutes or 15 minutes to just be a little more thoughtful. When I would join meetings, maybe it would be a little more aware of what other people were saying. Maybe there was a CI champion there that I didn't pay attention to because the decision maker was making some point and they were important to get their buy-in and build that relationship. So in retrospect, I think maybe I would have just been just a little bit better at being thoughtful and more strategic about building that internal network. I think I got there and I'm still working on it, but it just took me longer than I think it needed to. So that's all. That's my advice, whether or not that's helpful.
It's great. I mean, obviously you've done a great job and it's nice to know that you didn't, come in with a 5-inch thick binder of, the first 100 days. So it's kind of, it's good that, you can kind of do it on the fly. So I really like what you've shared, Maureen.
It was definitely on the fly. I feel like it still is a little bit, but that's okay.
Yeah. Agile, not reactive, agile.
I like that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to write that one down too. Internal crowdsourcing. And I'm going to start using agile.
Excellent. Well, Michelle is letting me know we are at time and we should let folks go back to their day. But Maureen, just want to thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us today during lunch and sharing your really cool story here. We appreciate it. And, thank you for being such a great part of the Skip community.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the opportunity. And I hope something I said helped some folks out. And anyone that wants to reach out, I'd love to continue the conversation. And thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Great. Thanks, Maureen. Take care, folks. Bye. Bye.